Next came the muffled bump of the telephone receiver being dropped on the passenger seat, and a few seconds later, the sound of the car door being opened. In the meantime, the music from the car's sound system could be heard burbling away in the background. A few seconds later still came the distant, muffled, but unmistakable double blam of a shotgun. "Stop the tape," said Gilkes sharply and glanced at his watch. 3 minutes and 25 seconds since he said it was 8:47. He glanced up at Dirk again. "Stay here, don't move, don't touch anything. I've made a note of the position of every particle of air in this room, so I shall know if you've been breathing." He turned smartly and left. Dirk heard him saying as he went down the stairs, "Tuck it, get on to Wayford's office, get the details of Way's car phone, what number, which network." The voice faded away downstairs. Quickly, Dirk twisted down the volume control on the hi-fi and resumed playing the tape. The music continued for a while. Dirk drummed his fingers in frustration. Still, the music continued. He flicked the fast-forward button for just a moment. Still music. It occurred to him that he was looking for something, but that he didn't know what. That thought stopped him in his tracks. He was very definitely looking for something. He very definitely didn't know what. The realization that he didn't know exactly why he was doing what he was doing suddenly chilled and electrified him. He turned slowly, like a fridge door opening. There was no one there, at least no one that he could see, but he knew the chill prickling through his skin and detested it above all things. He said in a low, savage whisper, "If anyone can hear me, hear this. My mind is my centre, and everything that happens there is my responsibility. Other people may believe what it pleases them to believe, but I will do nothing without I know the reason why, and know it clearly. If you want something, then let me know, but do not you dare touch my mind." He was trembling with a deep and old rage. The chill dropped slowly and almost pathetically from him, and seemed to move off into the room. He tried to follow it with his senses, but was instantly distracted by a sudden voice that seemed to come at him on the edge of his hearing, on a distant howl of wind. It was a hollow, terrified, bewildered voice, no more than an insubstantial whisper, but it was there, audible, on the telephone answering machine tape. It said, "Susan, Susan, help me for God's sake, Susan, I'm dead." Dirk whirled round and stopped the tape.